Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Neogen Chemicals Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Neogen Chemicals Q1 FY26 earnings conference call for analysts and investors. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Dr. Harin Kanani, Managing Director, Mr. Anurag Surana, Director, and Mr. Gopikrishnan Sarathy, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from the management team, after which we'll open the floor for your questions. Before we begin, a standard disclaimer: certain statements made or discussed today may be forward-looking. Actual results could vary, and a detailed disclaimer is available in our Q1 FY26 earnings presentation, which has been shared and uploaded on stock exchange websites. With that, I'd like to invite Dr. Harin Kanani to share his perspectives. Dr. Kanani, over to you.
Thank you, Nishid. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining our early earnings call, early morning earnings call for Q1 FY26. We are pleased to have you join us today to review our financial performance and update you on our key strategic initiatives. Beginning with our performance for the quarter, we achieved remarkable resilience, successfully maintaining our momentum. Our diversified business model proved its inherent strength, especially as we navigated the challenge of our Dahej plant unavailability throughout the quarter due to the fire incident. Despite those operational hurdles and a prevailing soft pricing environment, our results were bolstered by sustained volume growth in the base business. Additionally, initial commercial sales from Neogen Ionics for both electrolyte and lithium salts.
Despite the operational hurdles and a prevailing soft pricing environment, our results were bolstered by sustained volume growth in the base business. Additionally, initial commercial sales from Neogen Ionics for both electrolyte and lithium electrolyte salts began contributing meaningfully. Our ability to navigate these complexities underscores the remarkable strength and adaptability of our overall operations. Turning your attention to the key updates during the quarter, our recovery from Dahej fire incident is progressing swiftly. We have secured initial insurance claim with INR 50.55 crore received in June 2025 and additional 30 crore received in July 2025. With this, the net claim receivable is INR 268.27 crore on a consolidated basis. We expect this to be realized in due course. In addition, there will be some additional amount which we'll realize, which is not determined, for reinstatement value difference as well as for the loss on profit. The replacement plant is taking concrete shape at an adjacent location. We have completed the civil foundation work and placed orders for long lead-time equipment. The plant remains firmly on track to be operational by next year. In another significant development, our Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Haridas Kanani, will be retiring from his position effectively September 30, 2025, as he completes 80 years on that date. The entire Neogen family extends its deepest gratitude for his immense contribution since founding the company, his visionary leadership in establishing a strong foundation, and his pivotal role in making Neogen a leader in specialty chemicals while fostering a culture of excellence and innovation. In recognition of his outstanding dedication and invaluable contribution, the board has conferred upon him the honorary title of Chairman Emeritus effective October 1, 2025, ensuring we continue to benefit from his invaluable guidance and mentorship. Concurrently, the board has designated Mr. Anurag Surana as Chairman and Non-Executive Non-Independent Director effective October 1, 2025. This ensures a seamless transition and strong leadership and guidance for Neogen in the future. Shifting our focus to strategic growth drivers, I will provide updates on expansion initiatives, particularly in the battery chemicals segment. Regarding the greenfield facility for electrolyte using MUIS technology in Pakhajan, Dahej PCPIR, Piling work is completed, civil work is significantly finished, and long lead equipment have already been ordered, and we have started receiving the same. A crucial milestone is the ongoing factory acceptance test of the module manufacturing plant at Mitsubishi Engineering Corporation manufacturing workshop site. Of our total 1,500 crore CapEx, we have deployed INR 506 crore to date, and remaining amount will be deployed shortly in line with the accelerated project schedule. A major development is the incorporation of Neogen Morita New Materials Limited, NML for short. NML is wholly owned subsidiary of Neogen Ionics Limited and a step-down subsidiary of Neogen Chemicals Limited. This venture aims to leverage Morita Chemical Industries, Japan's proven technology for over 30 years of experience to produce lithium salts. This salts will be used captively for our electrolyte production and for global sales, addressing the growing demand. Accelerating our entry into high-growth lithium-ion battery materials, vital for India's EV and energy storage, this project positions Neogen as a scaled domestic manufacturer. We aim to capture significant market share, reduce import dependence, and leverage global technology, diversifying revenue and establishing ourselves as a critical advanced battery supply chain supplier, driving future growth and profitability. Despite adjusting our near-term revenue guidance to reflect current operational realities, our long-term trajectory remains robust. Overall, we are confident in our ability to continue delivering value to our shareholders through strategic execution, innovation, and unwavering commitment to operational excellence. That concludes my opening remarks. I would now request our CFO, Mr. Gopi Krishnan Sarthi, to share financial highlights for the period under review.
Thank you, Dr. Harin Kanani. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Neogen Chemicals Q1 FY26 earning call. Let me walk you through our key highlights, financial highlights. All numbers are on consolidated basis except unless called up specifically. For Q1 FY26, we achieved a revenue of 186.7 crore, higher by 4% despite the non-availability of the Dahej plant for the quarter. As highlighted by Dr. Harin Kanani, the Neogen Ionics contributed rupees 5.4 crore revenue in Q1 FY26, building on its previous year full year revenue of 11.95 crore. Organic revenue for the period stood at 165 crore, reflecting a 16% increase, while inorganic revenue came at 22 crore. EBITDA stood at 31.5 crore, up 2% year on year. Despite the headwinds, we maintained a steady EBITDA attributed to favorable product mix and our ongoing cost optimization initiatives, which effectively offset the declining realization. Consequently, our EBITDA margin reached 18.8% on standalone basis and 16.9% on consolidated basis. Our profit after tax largely reflected our operational performance during the quarter, coming at 10.3 crores. Moving to other key developments during the quarter, CRISIL has reaffirmed our credit rating at CRISIL A with an outlook negative for long term and CRISIL A1 for short term, with both removed from the rating watch with developing implication. This reconfirms the confidence in our financial stability and strategic direction. Furthermore, our board has approved raising of rupees 200 crore through private placement of fully paid, secured, listed, rated, redeemable, non-cumulative NCD through one or more tranches. This will provide us additional financial flexibility for our growth initiatives. That concludes my remark. I will now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankur from Axis. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on the salt bit. What's the status on the product approvals here, given that, you know, we were waiting for the exports revenue ramp up there? So just wanted to check.
From our side, we are all ready. We are still waiting for the customer to schedule and audit. There were, like, you know, with whatever is happening in the U.S. currently, there were some delays from the customer side. They've not yet fixed the date, but again, we remain connected with them, and it should happen, you know, sometime soon. Also, you know, as you are aware, our Dahej capacity ramp-up is also happening. So I think in Q2, for around 15 days, we are also going to take a break to connect the, like, you know, existing plant to the increased capacity, which is likely to come by September and October. But from our side, we are ready for the salt. We are just waiting for customer approvals. And in the meantime, you know, whatever small revenue we generate in the salt, we are basically selling it to non-regulated markets. I mean, basically not non-regulated, but in, let's say, China market, where we are actually going against very strong competitors who are already present there. But that's the small revenue we're generating. So from our side, we are ready. Our capacity increase is also coming online because, as you know, the Dahej capacity is going to go up to 2,500 metric tons by March. So ramp up of that and connection to the, like, that connection to the existing facilities is also going on there.
Yeah, sure. Just a follow-up there. So, you know, from a key end user market perspective, U.S. will be bigger or Europe? And secondly, how is there any change in demand or slight softness because of the tariff-led sort of, you know, uncertainty there? And how do you put your... Yeah, go ahead first. I'll ask that the question later, yeah.
Fine. Yeah, no, so for your first question, U.S. or Europe, U.S. is the larger market, which is because there's already a lot of established battery manufacturing activities which are already happening in the U.S. Also, you know, while there is a change in IRA, there is a follow, so there was also, so there were two subsidies available in the U.S. One IRA was for the EV maker, and there's another subsidy, I think, called as 45X credits, which are basically available to the cell makers. So that is still available to the battery makers, and that is also significant, like between 25% to 35% of the total battery manufacturing cost. And that also has a requirement of localization and China-free supply chain. So what we have seen is the interest is actually even growing stronger because people didn't have a clarity that, you know, post the big beautiful bill, what changes are going to happen. But those who are maintained, and to some extent, even the non-China provision were made stricter. So I think that we have seen interest from the international market actually increase. So the combination of that, as well as Neogen forming JV, we have seen more newer companies, you know, who were kind of sitting on the fence, waiting for this clarity to now join, and now one by one, they've started visiting Neogen. So before we had one or two potential customers, now we have four or five different customers who have started approaching. They are battery makers, electrolyte makers, as well as even EV makers. So all of these guys are now approaching Neogen, and having some visits have already happened, and some more are happening during this quarter.
Sure, that's helpful. And just, you know, the follow-up there. So what is the typical time lag required at your end if you want to, let's say, increase your salt capacity, given there is so much demand and interest coming in?
So Dahej, you know, at present, we will be at 2,500, what we are targeting. And if I have to increase a little bit, I can increase 1,000 metric ton more. And that is mostly be focused on the additives because, I mean, the lithium additives part, so lithium salt is two parts, the main electrolyte salt as well as the additives. So we are basically keeping right now additive facility increase is all planned at Dahej. And the main electrolyte salt capacity is, like, as you are aware, you know, is coming out at Pakhajan. So we have kept a room to add 1 KTA in Pakhajan, very far, sorry, in our Dahej facility for the additive. And we have kept 2 additional KTA in Pakhajan. So when we complete the CapEx and we have 5.5 KTA, at least 3 KTA can come in relatively quickly, within like 6 months-9 months kind of a period. And then beyond that, you know, we'll have to plan because it'll be a new manufacturing block, either at our Dahej or our Pakhajan site. So 3 KTA can be added from 5.5-8.5, but beyond 8.5, you know, we will have to wait, and maybe around 12 months-15 months if we have to set something up.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. And just a second pick on the, you know, the battery plants coming in India. There are some delays, but if you can, you know, highlight the timelines on, you know, which all plants are coming and what could be the timeframe that we can look at.
So from our view, you know, we are seeing our customer like Ola, they, like, you know, they've announced a timeline that by September, October, they want to have commercial operations, like ramp up, and then another ramp up, which is expected by next March or April. So we are on track of that. I think we also heard, like publicly, that Exide is also starting relatively very soon in the second half. I think the announced date was 15th August for some trials to start. So I think, they both are on track as we had predicted in 2024. And, the remaining customers like, Reliance, Tata, Waaree and Amara Raja, so they all are targeting what, you know, they have publicly announced by 2026. So that timeline remains.
Okay, great, sir. Thanks a lot for all the questions and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you so much. So, possible to share the volume growth number for the first quarter, please, maybe across the businesses?
I would say on the bromine derivative side, on the organic side, the volume growth would be around 10%-15%. On the lithium side, there's been a little bit of a degrowth in this particular quarter. So last quarter we had pushed a little bit, and Q1 is generally softer, but this time it was a little bit more softer than normal. But overall, in the demand, that is not too much of a challenge. The demand still continues, and I think by the end of the year, lithium will also make up. We'll have the same volumes or slightly better.
Okay. And just to clarify, the Neogen Ionics business is included within inorganic itself, right? The 5 crores odd.
That's right, yes.
Okay. Thank you. The other one was just, you know, the thought process behind this NCD issuance. So, you know, what exactly is the purpose we are looking for here? Is it working capital or something else, right? Yeah.
So basically, you know, we still have around 250 crores odd amount, which is to be received from the insurance. And there can be sometimes, you know, mismatch in the timings versus we want to ensure that our CapEx, like, you know, plans and everything doesn't get affected. So I think there was a small interest delta, so we thought that is worth having, but ensuring that there's a smoothness CapEx happening, and we are not fully dependent on the insurance only. So overall, you know, once we receive all the insurance money as well as, you know, this debt considering, I mean, this is basically some additional liquidity that we want to have in the system so that, you know, no, like, you know, we have, like, so many CapExes which are ongoing, so that there is no delay or anywhere because of, you know, cash flow related funds. So it's just a, basically liquidity to be keep in the system. Any mismatch in insurance received or any other funds which we need to be used with so many, CapExes which are ongoing. Overall, there is no additional need, per se. It's just that, just to keep the liquidity and just to keep the flexibility and reduce the dependence, in case there's a timing mismatch with the insurance.
Got it. So, by when do we expect to close this? That was one, the NCD issuance, the due timeline for this. And number two, then, once this is done, we have basically all our lines of financing tied up. So for whatever CapEx we plan, plus working capital requirements, is everything in place now with this?
everything is already in place. Like, this is only additional, you know, just in case insurance timing mismatch. And yes, this also is likely to happen in the current year, current month, sorry, within August, before August 10. Again, we have received confirmations from investors who want to participate in that. There's even request for more, but we are capping it at the 200 crore limit, which we have kept. And yeah, and all the other working capital, CapEx for phase one, phase two, everything is already there.
Got it. Thank you. And just on the CapEx at Pakhajan, out of 1,500, I guess 500 odd is done so far. The amount spent in 1Q was only about 36 crores. So is that the normal phasing? Do you expect the CapEx to pick up significantly in the next two, three quarters to meet your deadline of March 26 for commissioning?
Yes. So there are two things. You know, this module plant, once it shifts, so that's going to be one big expense. So once we complete the FAT and post FAT, we have given some modifications. So as they complete and ship that, so that's going to be one large CapEx item, which is going to add significant chunk. The second point is that, you know, for our salt, as you know, our JV discussions are progressing well. Our JV partner also made an official announcement in Japan, you know, the intent, with the intention of forming the JV. Our discussions have progressed well. We are mostly aligned the technology and like some of the only finer points are now getting aligned. So we expect that to happen in 2-3 months. So what has happened is the equipments which we were, the long lead time equipments are already ordered by my JV partner in Japan. And I mean, they've already ordered from their existing suppliers. They are kept ready. So as soon as we conclude the JV, a large chunk of equipment will be ordered from there. So more or less, you know, we are on track to complete by March. Electrolyte is 100% sure. On the salt side, we are just reviewing. Once we have the final alignment, we will know. It will be just a couple of months here or there. Depends on, like, you know, how the exact alignment happens. And we have clarity after alignment. But overall, CapEx will happen more or less in time. Maybe some slight change on the salt side we are watching. Once we have the final JV alignment, we'll be able to give the right picture on that.
And that was actually my next question on the JV. Any further details that you might be able to share in terms of the stakes of the two partners or the total CapEx amount and the split between the two of you, something like that?
So I would request to, you know, share this once the JV agreement. I know the numbers and we have agreed on that, but I think we would wait for the JV agreement to get concluded and after that we will do.
Okay, okay. All right. Just one final thing from my side. While these auto battery capacities are still awaited in the Indian market, in the meantime, there seems to be quite a significant amount of development around energy storage, around solar, etc. So how sizable could that opportunity be? How are you seeing things unfolding on that front?
No, so, you know, this was something which, you know, in the past also we had alluded that, you know, energy storage can surprise us. And what we are seeing is, and I think you can also track that, more and more people are requesting, almost now all new solar projects which are coming, they are coming with a energy storage kind of capacity which has to come online. What I have seen is, you know, the percentage. So if you are setting up like a 100, like, you know, 1 giga kind of a facility or 500 megawatt kind of a facility, I've seen like around 25 to 50% of that requested as an energy storage backup, you know, so that you can utilize the maximum of the solar energy which can happen. So I think, you know, if you look at that and if you think of 500 gigawatt hour of solar capacity which India wants to put by 2030, and economically also it's making such a strong sense, you know, this number in my view can be like, you know, 30, 40 giga or even higher per year basis, because, you know, we are going to go to the 500 giga by, let's say, 2030, and you can have around 100 to 150 giga kind of like a battery storage requirement over the next 4 to 5 years. So it can be somewhere between 30 to 40 giga kind of just for energy storage over next 3 to 4 years? At present, if I have the last year number, there were around 10 to 12 gigawatt hours of energy storage projects which are already tendered, which will come, let's say, over a 2 year kind of period. So around 5 to 6 giga is, like, you know, on an average consumption for energy storage is already there.
Okay, okay. So, Sunny, just to clarify, out of the total capacity that we'll have in terms of electrolytes, would you expect a significant portion of it to go towards energy storage? Any rough estimates over there?
So if you just think of, you know, the six people who have announced, the six people I mentioned earlier, right, who have giga factories starting till end of the next year, you have Reliance and Waaree Energy, which are completely basically from energy storage solar point of view. And both Exide and Amara Raja partly is solar and partly is for auto. So you can say at least, like, you know, 40-50% of the capacity in terms of the number of people who are coming online is actually for energy storage. And if you actually put their giga capacities and divide, maybe 50% or even more is for giga storage. Energy storage, sorry.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Arun. All the best. I'll come back in the queue for more.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Srinivas from Unify Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had two questions. One is on the achieving the revenue run rate of about 300 crores, which we have guided the market in terms of Neogen Ionics. So we have done about, we are currently running at about 5 crores for this quarter. So how do we, so is this going to be a quick ramp up over the next 3 quarters to achieve the 300 crores run rate?
Yes, so we had, you know, guided earlier also that majority of this will come in the second half of the year. That remains still true. I mean, in the second quarter, it's not going to be like a 100 crore kind of number, but third and fourth quarters will be very strong. It again depends on 2 points, like, you know, how fast the electrolyte companies come up and the cell production comes up, which will drive the electrolyte demand. And the second is how fast, once we approve, how fast the international customers will ramp up the salt, electrolyte salt and additive purchase. So again, both of these based on whatever customer guidance is in the second half. So we are expecting this to largely come in the second half.
Got it. So for this 300 crores, we have the orders tied up, right? With so on a steady state basis, how much will be exports now, given that the BESS demand is picking up even in India and a lot of battery manufacturers are coming up and inquiries are lining. So how will be the split of exports and domestic on a steady state basis?
So Karthikji, actually, you know, if you think of like, you know, the capacity which we are ultimately setting up, which is 30 KTA of electrolyte and 5.5 KTA of the salt, what we believe is in the beginning around 4, like, you know, out of the 5.5, around 3.5 to 4 KTA will be for the international market, and then the balance will be for our local consumption, and then for our internal consumption. And then as we basically ramp up the capacity like of the electrolyte, we will have to most likely add more capacity for the salt. So it will depend on, like, you know, how that happens. But in the beginning, it will be more export heavy. Let's say if we're talking of next financial year. But then as we go, maybe they will balance out. And this also depends on, you know, how international market, like, how strong policies will be put for non-China policies, because everybody wants to have Neogen as a backup. Like, even if there is no, so some of the customers I had recently interaction with, they said, okay, even if there is no incentive, they can't depend only on China because of what they did in anode and rare earth. So they definitely want to have a backup supplier. But will we be the backup supplier or will we be the main supplier also depends on all the policy frameworks which are getting set up across geographies. So I think it's a little bit early to say, okay, 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line, but in the current year and in the next year, exports will be the main drivers. And once India picks up electrolyte, so we are talking of, let's say, 2027, 2028, whether Indian electrolyte will be more or salt will be more will depend on, like, you know, how much market share we get in India for the electrolyte and, like, you know, how the international view is about non-China suppliers.
Got it. And who will be our competitor in India for the same electrolyte and this one, salts capacity?
So till now, you know, I think Gujarat Fluorochemicals is one of the companies which has announced electrolyte capacities, but we don't have the exact clear volumes on that. And also for electrolyte salt, they have announced capacities and intention to increase capacities in the future. This is in India, but basically, you know, when you are thinking of electrolyte salts, you are thinking of a global market. So if you look at a non-China global market, you have one company which has started in Japan, one company in Korea, and after that, Neogen and GFL are number three, number four. So there are only four people at present outside China who can, you know, give you electrolyte salts and additives the way we are giving.
Oh, yeah. So at a world level, what will be the total capacity as it stands today? And so we are at about 5.5 KTA after 2 years, say. And what will be the global capacity today and by FY28, say? What will be the how will it ramp up?
So, you know, today the world capacity is somewhere between 50 KTA-100 KTA of the salt. And we are 5.5, so we'll be somewhere between 2.5 to 5%, sorry, around 5 to 10%, depending on that, depending on the consumption. And I think if you go to our investor presentations, we have given some numbers already for 2030 for the international expected demand, assuming 3,000 gigawatt-hour kind of battery production, battery requirement by that time. The main point is, you know, out of this, so if you look at non-China demand, the total non-China demand, sorry, capacity which is available today is around 7-8 KTA. So, you know, what we are adding is significant of that because today, 90-95% of the capacity is, 90-95% of the capacity is basically China.
Got it. And my last question is on the tariffs. Given that the new tariffs have been announced, so is there any impact for you or it's just status quo?
As I explained, you know, in one of my earlier questions, Karthik, that what we have seen is that with the tariff coming in, now there is more clarity. And while there is lesser the IRA for the battery EV manufacturers, there is, like, you know, is like curtailed, but the clarity on the battery and the requirement of non-China has given clarity. So again, customers who are sitting on the fence are now, like, you know, are now even more keen. And with what happened in rare earths and to some extent anode and China's message that they want to restrict even LFP technology, people are even now more worried to depend on China because most of the EV makers, non-China EV makers, China is the biggest competition for them. And they are all worried if they will influence and not allow them to get either key materials or key technology. So we have seen international customers being more keen to have a China-free supply chain now, as compared to even earlier.
Got it, sir. So that's it from our side. Thank you so much and wish you very all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So first question, just wanted to know, you know, in terms of the base business, for both bromine and lithium side of the business, are you seeing some pickup in, let's say, you know, our verticals like pharma, agrochem? What is the pickup you are seeing, if any? And in light of that, and I know the fire incident that has impacted the Dahej plant and all that. So the standalone guidance, is that maintained, what you've released on March 7th, or is there some change to it? Just wanted to see some more color on the subsegments within the base business.
Yes, Jason. So I think for the pharma, we are seeing a very strong pickup. We are also seeing good new inquiries coming from semiconductor, flavor, fragrance, and other industries as well. Agro has improved, but again, still not at its full. And especially agro, we had international business, and with the Dahej plant getting affected, this year for us, agro again will not be able to contribute so much because some of the international customers we had to supply from Dahej. Although one positive point is that in our CSM business, we have received some quite good large inquiries on the agro side for, let's say, 2026, 2027, 2028 kind of launch. So the pipeline for the agro remains good. So as the markets recover, we are there to basically capture the demand from the customers. And almost most of the customers appreciated the speed at which Neogen communicated the fire incident, the speed at which we are rebuilding the plant, and we are bringing them online, and some of the improvements we are making there. So all these were taken very positively by the customers. So to answer your question, pharma is looking good and getting better. Other industries are also looking good and getting better. So the interest, again, that China plus one kind of a mentality is again a little bit getting more active in these industries as well. And agro, the demand is slowly improving, not great jump, but it's doing better. We've seen also good interest on our organolithium piece. So we have now started making more inroads once we have the capacity visibility in the international markets. So I think that is also something which we are hoping will help us. With all of that, look, we are on track to achieve what we had targeted. So around 825 crore-875 crore on the base business. As you know, we had to change some of the strategies to take care of the impact on the Dahej side. So our Q1 performance was a little bit affected by, while we are transitioning to alternate strategies and shifting molecules around. But I think we'll see even further. And in spite of that, we were able to, do last year performance when the Dahej plant was still there. And as we get into Q2, Q3, Q4, we should see better performance as compared to what we did in Q1. And so that's why our guidance remains the same. On the inorganic lithium side, as I explained earlier, that we want on the inorganic lithium side also that the demand this quarter was a bit less, but I think by the end of the year we would have caught up or we would have been slightly higher. So that's I think covers all the segments.
Okay, sure, sir. And so just to, I understand that an earlier participant did ask this, but for battery chemicals, you are seeing a good ramp up. I know you had said 100 crores for 26. That could have some change, but we have good visibility in the second half. Of course, it depends on the cell capacities coming up and the lithium salts pick up as well. But we have still decent visibility for that in the second half, right?
Yes, there is. And if I see, for example, I sold more electrolyte in one quarter than I sold in the whole of last year. So I think that's a positive sign, right? Even in last July, August, I think even this quarter would be similar or slightly better. So I think we are seeing ramp up. But I have to say, with the way the industry is transitioning and, we are being one of the earliest battery material, I think maybe one of the only battery material producer who's ready with Giga facility already. So I request, all of you to have a little bit of patience. I think what we really should be looking at, because we are the pioneers or the beginners here. So we have to mainly look at, what is the scenario in 2027, 2028, right? When we said we are going to have the full utilization levels. And if you look at 27 and 28, whatever has happened in China, the rare earths, and the anode, people are more interested, more keen to basically buy from India. So, that makes our long-term business more strong, as well as our JV also has been very, very strongly appreciated by the customers because they get the comfort that, Japanese technology in India from whom they are buying for 30 years is like that we are the only combination who can give that. And similarly, on the electrolyte side also, with whatever is happening in energy storage, the concern about India having enough demand is going, because whatever EVs, two-wheelers, three-wheelers, four-wheelers can be a little bit slower, but you will have a bigger demand also coming from energy storage part. Also, companies like Suzuki have been announced that, okay, they would also be now setting up a battery plant maybe a little bit later, 2028-29. So once the mainstream companies also start joining into battery and cell production, I think all these are positive signs for good demand, in 27-28, both on electrolyte side as well as salt side. So I think this is going to be little, so we'll have to really keep our eyes focused on 27-28, try to do best in 25-26, but I think if I look at 27-28, we are in a very good shape.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thanks for that detailed answer. So, sir, just also, I missed, you had mentioned in the response to an earlier participant, I think you mentioned two subsidy acts in the U.S. So, again, there's a lot of, uncertainty over the tariff thing and the IRA's, impact getting reduced and the one big beautiful bill and all these things. So, sir, how are you seeing in the U.S.? Because, of course, there's a kind of a China plus one is on the up move, so that bodes very well for us. So what are these acts, sir, just, and some color on how the U.S. is approaching it, I mean, amid all the, the confusion there.
Yeah. So, you know, basically IRA and the big beautiful bill, right? I mean, both of that basically were focused on one very clear message, which is basically not to depend on China. Right. So even the parts which relate to the battery material, what I called as like 45X credits, right? So even those are basically linked to having some non-dependence on China and localization. So that's the positive message. I think, tariff, there is no point to guess now. We have to see when the dust settles, right? What is the final? And the only thing which matters is because sometimes you see some very critical things, they just completely exempt. So they can even say that, all battery material is exempt from the tariff, like they did for iPhone and sometimes for pharma. So we'll have to see what is exempted from the tariff and what is not. And then what is the relative position between India, China and Japan and Korea? Because this is the only four places you can make. Also, Japan and Korea, I think largely in that also what will be more important is the India and China. Because Japan and Korea, even if they want to set up a large capacity, they take very long time because of permissions. So mostly we have to see where the dust settles between India and China and whether, they are exempt or not. But for us, what is more important is that when they are giving some billions of dollars of subsidies to the cell makers in US, that is linked to not having supply security from China. So supply chain coming from China and having a non-Chinese supply chain. So I think that is the positive message. What is the government's intention? And then, we'll keep watching there. But as I told you, that will only make a difference whether we are a backup supplier with, 20-25% of the market, or we are the majority supplier with 30-50% kind of market. That's the only difference, these policies will have between the way the policy decision happens. But I think whatever we are currently aiming, we should not have to worry for that. It's just beyond that, how fast we will grow will be clear once the dust settles on the policies.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you, Jis.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Arun Prasad from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Dr. Harin, you mentioned in detail about how customers do not want to depend on Chinese for a long period of time. Is there any contractually they are locked till certain months or period or year because of which they can't buy anywhere outside from China, any of the potential customers that are visiting you? As far as you know?
No, I don't think that is basically a concern.
Okay, because despite so much, clearly it seems that they are 100% dependent on Chinese and we are there as an alternative, but still the progress in product approvals or or a plant visit seems to be in a slightly slower pace. One would assume that given this kind of a high dependence and important to diversify supply chain, they would be doing it in a warlike scenario, but on the ground it seems to be moving slow. So what explains this kind of a dichotomy?
So the visits are happening, the discussions are happening, but like we discussed, right, last 2-3 months there's a lot of variability which is happening on the daily basis. So they're just trying to get a hang of that. And I think the only other thing is that the real deadline for them is that in 2026, so 25 is more like a comfort year for them, that okay, if I start buying in 25, then I'm more comfortable. 26 is the year where they want to basically start shifting. And for the subsidy and all that, 27 is the year where they just cannot buy. So, you know, as we get towards the end of 25, 26. So they keep having some breathing room, and at present with all the things which are happening with tariffs, you know, they have to take care of what is happening today and juggle with that versus preparing for 27. So I think that's the dichotomy.
Okay, understood. Just for clarity, the plant visit will happen usually after the sample from commercial plant is received, tested, approved, and then only the plant visit happens, or it happens after the plant visit is really kickstart. How should we look at this process now?
So each customer has their own strategy. So some of them have taken the samples and then they will come. Some of them will say, no, first I will come, I'll approve, only then I'll spend time in testing the sample. So depends on them.
Oh, okay. Understood. And you also talked about the backup versus main, being a main supplier or a backup supplier. Typically, what is the volume share given to us, say, a backup supplier? What is your assumption when you assume that you will be a backup supplier becoming a main supplier?
So, one of the customers I discussed with that, hey, if there was no tariff, what would you do? So that particular customer said, hey, I would be still 50% non-China. And I said, how many suppliers would you have in non-China? Because I would have at least two. So that's basically how I've basically come with that number of at least having 20-30%. Broadly also, I have seen that customers don't like to have more than two or three sources because they want. So I think the maximum, like, you know, they'll have a three supplier approved, two or three. So depends on, I would say backup would be somewhere on the lower side, 10-15%, on the higher side around 25-30%.
Understood. My second question is on the Morita JV. You mentioned that you are yet to get aligned with the JV partner. In what kind of a topics that you, there is a still say a misalignment? Is it a financial in nature or operational or strategic or a more like a product portfolio? How should we look at this non-alignment at this point of time?
Just basically, I would say a lot of it is just the lawyer stuff, legal stuff. On the the language of the agreement, and they are very strong Japanese companies. So Japanese legal way and India's legal way, kind of trying to understand that. So that's, I think, mostly that. And little bit what we are doing is, because they have not given us the exact final, you know, drawings and exact, because the JV is still to happen, right? Exact detail SOPs. So as we understand that, you know, we know the big changes we had to do, we have done. The finer changes that we need to do in our design to basically crystallize on the final dates, etc. Those are the things which are happening in parallel. So when the JV agreement progresses, you know, in parallel, we have more and more information that, okay, which segment India technology is better, or our Indian equipment is better, which is the Chinese equipment or their technology is better. And then we are taking the better of the two. In some cases, we are even thinking of a third option together, that, hey, you know, why not this better? So I think those kind of things are currently happening.
Understood. One last bookkeeping question, Dr. Arim. On our fire incident, we have claimed the insurance and got insurance claim for that. But what is our internal estimate for the loss of profit because of this incident?
So, you know, it's very difficult because the loss of profit is going to be for a period from April to March, right? So for the whole year. And basically, the loss on profit, the process starts after you reinstate the plant. So the process of giving you loss on profit will be only after that. So if we had a very good number, we would have put it in our estimate.
Okay.
But that's something, you know, it's ongoing. So as a company, we are very trying our to like maximum operations not affected. But the loss on profit will basically take into account some of the fixed overheads which you would still have. Like, you know, what is the business which we could have done which didn't happen? And also, like, you know, some additional expenses we had to do when we shifted the productions around. So I think it's going to be a little bit complicated. So we will wait for, you know, the experts to do that after it. Especially being insurance, I don't want to hazard a guess right now.
So, right. So the timeline is basically the next financial year, and we will come to know about this.
Yes. Yes. Loss on profit will be. If we have a clarity, subject to accounting rules in this year, if we can take a provision, we'll take a provision. But, like, at present, I don't have any number which I can share.
Understood. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. In the interest of time, I have two questions we'll bunch up together. So first, you had earlier mentioned that the CapEx on the JV with Morita, that is still undisclosed, with respect to the current, you know, agreement that you have with them. Beyond 1,500 crores of the announced CapEx, there will be incremental CapEx coming in Morita, or 1,500 is accounted for?
So basically, as you know, the existing CapEx that we have included both the salt and electrolyte, and we are not planning unless we see, like, right now some very additional capacity. So the only thing is that for the same capacity, when we completely align with their technology, is there something less? Is there something more? So we would get to know that. So that's the only thing pending. So it's basically 1,500 crore. If there is any delta created because of the JV, that we will know once we have the full alignment.
Got it. So secondly, on the current situation on salt and electrolyte, in terms of its dollar realization or our current estimate as to what kind of profitability or ROC we can generate, is there any estimate to it that we have calculated internally?
No. So, you know, we continue to have that 20% ROC kind of as a target in all our discussions with our customers. As we know, the salt contracts and the additive contracts that we have, basically, as long as, you know, as long as we meet the operational efficiencies that we have targeted, you know, we will be able to get the 20% ROC on a full utilization basis. So there's no change in that. And whatever discussions we are having in electrolyte or small quantity of electrolyte also we are selling, we are keeping that delta. Of course, the plant is not utilized today, but we are keeping that long-term delta that, at a peak volume, this is what it will be so that we can generate the 20% ROC.
So, sir, this is despite, you know, the volatility that we've seen in prices of LiPF6 or the electrolyte eventually.
Yeah, because that is basically China. And we feel even at that, you know, we are cheaper than the Japanese and the Koreans. So, like, you know, if they want a non-China, then this is still one of the best bets in our view.
Understood. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you, Archit.
Thank you. The last question for the day is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So first question, just clarification on the fire incident. The net claim receivable is 268 crores, and out of that, we have received about 81 crores, right? That's the total amount, 268, and out of the 81.
No, 268 is balance now.
Remaining.
Yeah, remaining. Yeah. And that and plus, as we said, that is from just estimating the net block and the inventory loss. But the insurance we have is on a reinstatement basis. So when you reinstate the same capacity, any additional cost that you incur will be on top and will be reimbursed by the insurance company. and there will also be there will also be some loss on profit which you were discussing earlier. So these are not included here. They will be in addition to that. But most of this will be towards the end of the financial year or something may go even next year. Like the loss on profit especially, and the final bit which is above reinstatement might go in the next year.
Right. And the 200 crores that we are raising, so is it just a stopgap arrangement, or is it going to stay for the tenure of the NCDs?
So it will stay for the period, for the next, I think, 2.5 years. That's approximately the period. And it will stay till, all this CapEx and everything is completed, all the insurance is completed. Yes.
And the second question is, we have done remarkably well in terms of the standalone EBITDA margins. Given that both bromine and lithium prices have been benign, if the prices increase, is there any risk to the percentage margins, given that probably the EBITDA per kg would remain more or less similar for both the businesses?
Yes, in bromine, mostly we are able to manage EBITDA, and the contribution or the fluctuation in bromine, even if it's high, like 20-30%, so it doesn't change the percentage margin so much. In case of lithium, it is more like per kg kind of a basis. And in the past, we have seen that when lithium went to $70-$80, our EBITDA margin on an aggregate basis had gone down to 16%, or I think, yeah, around 16-16.5% because of that per kg basis, where on a percentage basis, we are a bit lower. So that has happened in the past. So if it goes to like $70-$80 kind of level, things like that can happen.
That's it from my side. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you for joining us today. We trust your queries have been addressed. For any additional questions, our investor relations team is available. We appreciate your time and look forward to connecting again next quarter. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Neogen Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.